Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everyone. It is a rainy weekend in Pittsburgh, although it is going to pave the way for a beautiful week of weather. We'll have that for you coming up a little bit later. Right now, it's time to talk sports at 412-928-9370. That is also the number of the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. 928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Twitter on this station is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Our show brought to you, as usual, by the outstanding people of PNC Bank. PNC, make today the day, and driven in style, as we always are, by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. I want to tell you that I'm on a remote here today because I have the pleasure of being the MC of something new at Nemacolin Woodlands, which is an amazing resort, as you know, but they're opening up Wisteria, which is a new associates community featuring the market, the rec center, the pub. Ribbon cutting today coming up at 1:30, which is why I'm here. And it is a beautiful place, as Nemacolin Woodlands will make available to their associates a place to live, a place to get tremendous exercise, a pub, as well as a market. So it's easier on them doing their job up here, which they do so well. So that's what I'm doing here today. In the meantime, I'm taking your calls at 412-928-9370. Joel Nelson is back at the studio, as he is, and very, very outstanding at what he does, running the ones and the twos. He'll be taking your call. So when you want to call, just call him. He'll put you on with me as we go here today. And there is a lot to talk about. It's been a busy week. You heard Josh talk about the Pirates for the last 2 hours and the fact that they won last night 13-3. It's been feast or famine, it seems, at times. But their last two outings, they've beaten some pretty good pitchers, top-notch pitchers. And last night, it was Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen came in this with six wins for an Arizona team that's actually a pretty good team. And he gave up eight runs. Never before in his career, which is 90 games, has he given up eight runs. But the Pirates got to him with seven in the fourth inning. Big nights all the way around. Keep Brian Hayes at three hits, three RBIs. It's Brian Reynolds with the key blow, which is a three-run home run, and his first home run in over a month. Number six, he had four runs batted in. Also, Josh Palacios contributed, as did Jiwon Bae, and they get 13 runs, and they win to get him at 24-20. That, coupled with a Rays win over the Brewers at one zip, puts the Pirates back into a tie for first place. And, you know, if you remove the context of everything and just say, here we are on May the 20th, and the Pirates are in first place at the beginning of the season, you would have thought, that's something that we would take, right? Well, at the same time, they've gone through a 2-12 stretch. Just imagine what it would have been if it was 6-8, 8-6, 7-7, whatever the case may be. The guy who's really been terrific for them is on the mound this afternoon at 4:05, and that would be Mitch Keller. Outstanding his last two outings. You can argue it would have been a 14-game losing streak if not for him. He won a game, 2-0, a complete game shutout against Colorado, 1 hour, 55 minutes. And then the last outing, another gem for him. He has just been outstanding. And that, of course, leads to talk about long-term deals, which they've discussed. I don't expect anything soon, talking to some people that I know familiar with this. It's just, you know, they have 2 years left on arbitration. Arbitration is what it is. His salary will go up, but it won't go up enormously enough for them to rush into a deal. So we'll see what they do with Mitch Keller, but he certainly finally realized, I think, all the potential that I think everyone in the Pirate organization had hoped he'd show, maybe a little earlier. Sometimes it takes time, and Oscar Marin has worked well with him ever since the second part of last season. It's carried over into this season where he has one of the best ERAs in all of baseball over the last calendar year. Again, the number is 412-928-9370. While the Pirates will play this afternoon, I want to point out also the Riverhounds in action, the first of their 4-1-2 series. They got Las Vegas coming to Highmark Stadium tonight at 7 o'clock. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. As we are here until 1 o'clock today, my thanks to Joel Nelson, who got me through all of that. If you have something to talk about, call 412-928-9370. I was mentioning about Keller and the fact that maybe the Pirates would be willing to go longer term, but there's no rush on that. He has 2 years of arbitration left, so I would suspect that's something down the road. Although they could get the wheels turning, even if he has a really good season, which is where he's headed right now, the price will go up, but it won't go to the point where it's not doable for them next year. So we'll see. You know, it takes time. It took time with Brian Reynolds. I think it took a little bit of time with Brian Hayes. They just need to keep doing what they're doing, and those who contribute big will get some money out of this whole thing. 412-928-9370. I was also mentioning Kyle Dubas, and I think it's important to talk about his availability because the Penguins need a GM. They've been interviewing a lot of people. They've kept everything pretty hush-hush. But this is a falling out I didn't expect to happen. When he had his final press conference after Toronto was eliminated, Dubas said it's either Toronto or he'll sit out a year. I wonder if that's changed given how things have broken down. And should the Penguins go hard after him regardless of the price? He's a young guy, 5 years in Toronto, does some very good things, kept the core together while adding pieces. Now their goaltending is one failure. And where have we heard that before? That's a tough position to satisfy these days. And Toronto certainly had their issues there. 412-928-9370. Let's go to the counselor. Hey, counselor, how are you today?
Fine, Bob. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Listen, I'm along with the Pirates. I think they have to, by June, promote Andy Rodriguez to the AAA club and promote...
Well, Andy's already there.
What? I meant to say Andy Rodriguez to the Major League club. My mistake. Major League club and move Davis up to AAA.
And or they can have both at AAA for now. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way, Counselor. You can. There's 7 days a week. There's a lot of games to be played. There's a DH available and position flexibility for both guys. So there's a way to have them both up there at the same time for now.
I know. Davis plays right field, and Rodriguez has played second base. So, you know, you can use them on days that they're not catching. You know, I understand. But I think it's got to happen by June 1, I'm thinking, because I don't think, even though he's come around a little bit, I don't think he can live with the catcher at this stage with a 145 batting average.
Well, it's up to 172, and he's, you know, listen, they value that defensive ability behind the plate, and I get it. And I think that's what they want Davis and Rodriguez to work on before they become regular portions of behind-the-plate guys. But at some point, the bat plays so well with Davis, you got to move him up to AAA minimum. You know, before they had their breakout runs the last couple of games, there were a lot of people who thought maybe he should just come up here now and DH for a while, just get his bats in, but that won't help him as a defensive catcher. So I think the next move, and I think it would happen fairly soon, is to put him up to AAA and have both guys there.
Yeah, my only other comment on the Steelers, I think it's fine because basically you saw what happened to San Francisco last year with quarterbacks. So the fact that you have Mason Rudolph, and I don't think somebody's going to wow you with a draft pick for Trubisky, you can say, well, I'll move Rudolph up, you know.
Well, they signed Rudolph and they signed Trubisky, so I don't think they're looking for anything right now. They have a pretty good quarterback room as far as depth and insurance, and I think that's important. Again, you mentioned San Francisco. All you have to do is look at their example of last year. And going into this year, they still had to go out and bring in Sam Darnold to add to what they have after they lost Garoppolo. So there are some uncertainties there, and I'll be interested to see who starts against the Steelers week one here at Acrisure Stadium.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too, Counselor. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. I wanted to mention the PGA Championship and the tee time there. It could be very interesting to any of you who follow golf and some of the stuff that's gone on over the years. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka have had a little bit of a verbal thing going at each other. It's probably solved for now, but they've never really played together in a major. Today they're going to be paired together at 2:30. You can watch that on KDKA. Both are in the hunt. There's some interesting names on that list, and there's some other ones who aren't on that list. It's just very difficult to play that kind of golf. That rough is extremely thick, and if you get into it, it's almost like taking a penalty shot. That makes it difficult, and if you're hitting the ball pure in the middle of the fairway, you're getting on greens, you avoid all of that like the guys yesterday all did. Pretty good situation to be in. 412-928-9370. There's some interesting stuff, and Joel, I want to play if we can. Mike Tomlin was on Rich Eisen on his podcast the other day in the NFL Network, and we talked a lot about the quarterback situation, how it is here. They liked Rudolph as a third guy. They re-signed Trubisky, mostly kicked some money down the road, and I think that's making way possible to sign Alex Highsmith because that's the next major issue they have in terms of salaries. But Mike Tomlin was very, very bullish on Kenny Pickett, as he should be. He wanted him last year. He played a little bit of the verbal battling game, kind of misleading people about who he might take, who they may take in the first round, 20th overall. When it came to Pickett, they jumped on it. And he went through a lot last year. He didn't start the season. But when he got in, it took him a while. But at the end of the season, there were a lot of things to look forward to as sort of a springboard for his 2023 campaign. But it's interesting how Tomlin described his feelings about Kenny Pickett early this season. And he did earlier this week on the Rich Eisen podcast.
You know, I expect him to kill it, you know, and I'll describe what I mean by that. You know, it's his second lap around the track. He's no longer speculating in terms of what this business is about, what the job demands, what the challenges are, what the feel of the process is like, whether it's getting ready for a season or getting ready for a week. He has all of that experience, and so I just think it's reasonable for him to have significant growth in all areas with that understanding, to be more engaged in the process and to have an opinion about the process, to lead more comfortably in his own voice because he has deeper relationships with his teammates. He's delivered for him some, and so credibility is there. And so it's reasonable to feel that comfort. I'm just looking for him to take a significant step in all areas because he's in position to. He has experience. He's performed some. He has relationships. He's had some challenges. All of those things are platforms for growth. And aside from those things, man, he loves it. He's a gym rat. He likes to work. He's communicative. He just has all the intangible things that you would expect from a guy at that position, but really at any position, to take a step from year one to year two.
Have you noticed a difference just in between the times where you saw him last and you saw him first in this calendar year?
You know, I think we can trick ourselves into saying, boy, Kenny really looks good, you know?
Yeah.
Boy, he really looks comfortable. I don't know that there's a significant difference. I don't know that we've faced enough challenges or done enough official business for that to be revealed at this point. But we as coaches, man, we can trick ourselves all the time and, you know, lie to ourselves. Well, Kenny's on it this week. You know, we just hadn't been faced with enough challenges for me to really assess that at this juncture.
That was Mike Tomlin on the Rich Eisen podcast. The interesting thing is he talked about being a, quote, gym rat. Tomlin loves gym rats. I mean, he himself is kind of one of them. He's around that facility a lot. He really gets into the recruitment process when he's on college visits with Omar Khan, previously Kevin Colbert. They love that stuff. They go down and dirty trying to get as much information. He told me last week, Tomlin did, that they go so far as to talk to cafeteria workers at school because there's information about what these kids are like. That's important to them, and it's important to anyone who evaluates somebody you're going to put a lot of money into. So Mike Tomlin is very bullish on a good season for Ken Pickett coming up this year, and he's got some better offensive line people, depth there. He's got some decent receivers. He's got a guy who we don't know enough about yet in Calvin Austin to add to the mix. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Don, who joined us on the fan hotline. Hey, Don.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I have two hockey questions for you. The one, it's more or less trying to understand the rules. I was watching the hockey game yesterday with Dallas, and I don't understand the delayed offside. The referee puts his hand up because there's a Dallas guy over the blue line, so he's offside. But then within 2 seconds, three more Dallas guys come across the blue line, and they take the puck away. So what's the sense of
that?
Well,
that's in an effort to speed up. It's almost like the pitch clock, what it's meant to baseball. That was done several years ago. So if you're in the zone, the puck comes out of the zone, you as an offensive team must clear the zone before the puck reenters the zone. And you give time for those guys to do it. Now, while they're in the zone, they cannot touch the puck at that juncture. They have to go out and reset before they can get back in the offensive zone.
Well, I like to say what I saw was delayed offsides Dallas. Three more Dallas players crossed the blue line, and they got the puck away from Vegas.
Well, that would not have been able to happen. If it was offside and they didn't clear the zone, they couldn't do it without blowing the whistle. So I'm not sure that what you're specifically speaking of, but that's been in place for a very long time. Thanks, Don.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. 412-928-9370. And it's interesting to see how these teams, you look at it, and it goes to show you why it's important just to get in the playoffs. You can tell me all you want about a team doesn't have a chance. The Penguins had a week at the end of the year where they could have gotten in and ousted Florida. Instead, Florida gets in. They weren't playing their best hockey. They get in, and all of a sudden, they win two series, and now they're up one zip in this one as an 8 seed. Look at the NBA playoffs. You have the same thing going on. Now, you can argue that the LA Lakers are much better than a play-in team, but they had to play their way into the tournament, and they did. And now, even though they're down 2-0 to the Nuggets, they won two series, as did Miami, as an 8 seed, another play-in team. I can't say enough about Eric Spoelstra and the job he does with that Miami Heat team. And last night, boy, you think you would have learned lessons if you're watching Grant Williams pulled a Dylan Brooks in that he went nose to nose, forehead to forward with Jimmy Butler, just as Dylan Brooks was hounding LeBron James. The last thing you want to do in those situations when your team has a 9-point lead, as Boston did last night, was to poke that bear, that playoff bear. You do that, you're asking for trouble. And that's exactly what Grant Williams got. They lost the game for a lot of reasons, but his way of dealing with Jimmy Butler, I think, had a big part to do with it. Miami's level of play just jumped right after that. And so now they're down 2-0 heading back to Miami. History will tell you that teams that are down 2-0 in NBA playoffs very often are eliminated. So will that be the case? The Nuggets go to L.A. L.A. has played well. You could have argued they could have won those games, but they didn't. Too much Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Let's go to Brad, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Just calling in to say that I really like the Steelers roster going into this year. I think they're top to bottom, head and shoulders, better than what they were the last two seasons with their roster, adding a lot of depth and a lot of pieces and some insurance pieces as well in case things happen. I think Pickett is going to kill it. I really do. I think the running game is going to be just that much better this year with the additions they made on the line, and that's going to free up the passing game and run.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was done with the idea of becoming a physically brawling kind of team, winning those games in the trenches, Brad. That's what they want to do. And they brought, it's no coincidence, two guards. They drafted a big tight end in Broderick Jones. They brought in a big left tackle, I should say, in Broderick Jones, and a big tight end in Darnell Washington. Their idea is to be a mauling team, much like Philadelphia was when Eddie Weidel was there. And on the other side of it, same thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I look for them to either split or sweep the teams in their division. I don't think they're going to be the ones being swept. I think they're the ones doing the sweeping this year.
I don't know. That's a big assignment, Brad, when you got Cincinnati in there sweeping. I'd take a split with that team. I think they can beat Cleveland twice, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland wins the game. You know, I don't know what their total roster looks like right now. They're putting an awful lot in Deshaun Watson. They don't have a lot of equity to do a whole bunch. So I think they're trying to bring in free agents and win now if they can, because they know that they don't have a lot of draft equity down the road. Baltimore is an interesting case, of course. They've added some people to their wide receiving core. Now that they have Lamar Jackson signed, I expect Lamar Jackson to be what he was a few years ago. So I think it's a very difficult division. So I don't know about sweeping. Nobody's going to sweep. If you can go break even with them and do well outside of your division, I think that bodes well for them. All right, Brad. Thank you. Let's go to John.
Yes. Morning, sir. This is John.
How are you?
I want to talk about the Pirates and the upcoming year. Super 2, I hear, is June 2nd. So anytime after June 2nd, that the arbitration clock doesn't kick in. I have no problem permanently making Davis a right fielder, making Rodriguez your catcher, and even keeping Hedges as a backup, an experienced backup. And then bringing up Nick Gonzalez, who's sitting 280 right now, bringing up Quinn Priester, who's pitched very well in the last month, and going for it. You're in a very bad, I'm not saying bad division, a weak division. You could win this thing if you bring everybody up and take a shot at it. And if they come up and fail, you send them back down, and the arbitration clock won't kick in till 2 years from now. So there's nothing to lose here by making some moves here.
Yeah, but John, you're talking about kind of wholesale moves. If they're playing well, I don't know if I want to disrupt too many things. And I also think that they have ideas of Henry Davis being an everyday catcher. That's why they drafted him. Yeah, they're moving him around a little bit. Maybe that's to somehow figure out a way to get his bat in a lineup earlier. But make no mistake, they need young catchers. Those two guys they have are rental players, one-year players, kind of. And as much as Hedges is good defensively, you've got to hit better than that. So, and as far as Priester, I want to see more from him because he had a rough start to the season. Yeah, he's gotten better. Same thing with Gonzalez. And as long as guys are hitting the ball up here and they're in contention, I don't think they're going to make wholesale changes to bring up a bunch of guys right in one fell swoop. I don't think they'll do that.
I see what you're saying, but for that long run for 12 out of 14 losses, they weren't hitting. And that's why I say, if you're in that position after June 2nd, you might want to consider doing something, maybe not that drastic, but something similar. Because
they have a lot of time, not just June. It could happen in July, it could happen in August, it could happen a lot of days. But ultimately, you want those guys up here, no question.
Yeah, I can imagine McCutcheon, Cruz, Sawinski, Reynolds, and Davis 1-5 in your lineup, if it's not this year, next year, and they re-sign McCutcheon as a DH, man, that's going to be an awesome lineup.
Well, we'll see. Right now, they just want to get through this weekend and try to take 2 out of 3, and they have a good advantage by winning last night. Thank you, John, for the call, and Mitch Keller on the Hill today. Mitch Keller has been outstanding the last two. He's been their ace. He's been their stopper. And they need another effort like that today. And as I said last night, Milwaukee lost to the Rays 1-0. So the Pirates are tied with Milwaukee, and they still haven't played Milwaukee. Pretty amazing that it's going to not be for a while yet before they see the Brewers, and they're going to have 18 meetings with them. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. More calls on the way. And we are brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. PNC. Check out their virtual wallet. Also, number one Cochran shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. The Fan wants to visit your youth baseball and softball teams in action with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Parents and coaches, send an email to the station at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your teams ages 12 and younger. And 937 The Fan may be making a stop to see a game or a tournament. This is all brought to you by Living Treasures of the Laurel Highlands. A lot of people on the lines. Let's roll with them. Let's go to Tim first up here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Bob, honored to be on the line with you. I appreciate you taking my call.
I was my pleasure.
Calling about, so the extension with Trubisky frees up some cap room for this year. I wanted to know your opinion. Do you think this opens up the possibility of an Alex Highsmith extension this year? Do you think he's somebody that the Steelers want long term, or do you think that they're going for another free agent signing, or maybe both?
No, I think it's directly tied to their want to sign Alex Highsmith long-term. If they could do it now, I think they'd rather do it before the season starts. That doesn't mean they can't go out and get somebody. They always like to keep a little reserve, and they save $4 million with Akella Witherspoon. And they also renegotiated essentially Mitch Trubisky. They can do that with other people as well. So I think an effort is being made to clear some space to make that happen. All right, Tim. All right, let's move along to Jackson. Jackson joins us now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Hey, Bob.
Fred Jackson.
I was wondering if I could, just get you to maybe speculate a little bit about what you think the chances are for the Bucs this year. I was listening to Roundtree earlier on Bucco Talk, and it just seems like there's a lot of people calling in, all bummed out, you know, go 2-12 or whatever it was. And, you know, I don't know. I'm with the hot start they had. I expected something like that, and I think it's going to happen, you know, any season. And, you know, they've already kind of broken that streak with the four wins or whatever they've had recently. And, you know, I mean, this division, as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty weak. I mean, it's great to see the Cardinals playing as poorly as they are. And I don't know. I mean, maybe the Pirates could win this thing. And I don't know that I'd like to see a little bit more excitement amongst the fan base. Maybe that's just it. Obviously, hoping for the
best.
There
was a lot in April.
I think they're talented.
You know, Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in April?
You know, no, it was. There was a lot of excitement in April, but I think what happened was that the 2-12 took the steam right out of it. And I think, to your point, it is a very average division. And I think, again, take the context away, and this is May 20th. They're in first place. If you had told me that at the beginning of the season, I would have said, yeah, they'll take that. How they got here really doesn't matter, but they're there. And it's a division that does not have one juggernaut team. Milwaukee is probably going to emerge as the team that wins it. I think St. Louis is going to get better. They have been better the last 2 weeks. But there's nothing to say that they can't hang around. And, again, my whole goal this year was to end the year with about 5 or 6 guys that I think they can build around moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. You know, we got a couple veterans there, too. I mean, I think they can hold this team together, but, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, Jackson, if they can surprise you, that's great. I mean, it's good for business. They got a couple of good weekend series coming up here with St. Louis, and I think it's the New York Mets after that. So, you know, there's no reason to think they can't be competitive if their pitching gets back to what it was in April. Now, it's starting to show signs of that. Keller's been terrific. If Rich Hill can be consistent, as he has, if Velasquez gets back, I saw good things from Oviedo last night. I mean, these are all ifs, and they're going to be ups and downs with this team. But if you were in the AL East, for example, I would say there's no chance. In this division, who knows?
Right, exactly. I think it's a great opportunity for us right now, so we'll see.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate the call. 412-928-9370. We got Bob who joins us now. So I guess you could say it's Bob on Bob. What's up, man?
Bob on Bob right here, Bob. How you doing?
There we go. Hey. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, just a couple things. I just wanted to, looking back last year, I'm talking Steelers here, and you look at I just was noting this recently. Look at those. There are 3 games that they lost within 3 points, Jets, Pats, and the Ravens. And those 3 games, they were lost. I think the points that we scored were 17, 17, and 20. So if you look at those, you know, really what I think needs to happen here is you need to, I mean, number one, this offense needs to just plain score more points. They just do. And I think, yeah, I think I'm pretty optimistic about it from what they've done in the offseason here. I think they've done a pretty good job bolstering the O-line. But this team isn't going to do much more than it did last year unless it scores points. It's got to score more points. Otherwise, it's not going to have a chance.
No, I totally agree. But you mentioned 2 games that the defense let them go. Last year, the Jets, Zach Wilson carved them up in the fourth quarter in New England. They couldn't get off the field because they couldn't stop their run game. So the defense still has a role. Statistically, it says that they're one thing. But in clutch situations last year, they did not perform the way you'd want them to. But that's not to excuse the offense. You're absolutely right. You can't survive in the NFL today with 17 points a game. You cannot do it.
No, it can't. Hey, and just one more thing. I'm from Maine. I am probably the biggest Steeler fan that ever existed in this state. And I love listening to you guys, all your shows, the morning show. I listen to them as much as I can. And I have to say, so I'm, you know, obviously the Celtics last night, and I agree with your comment earlier. What are you doing mouthing off to Butler? Are you kidding me? That's just stupidity, right? But more to my point. So Mueller has got this, I mean, is there just this, like, is it,
is it because the Pats just completely owned us for the past two decades that there's just this innate hatred for every other Boston team, or is it just Mueller? Man, I'll tell you, that guy, he goes off
the I didn't know he hated on them. I think unreal. He appreciates what Bill Belichick has done as a coach.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I haven't heard enough to know. He's on our nightly sports call show twice a week, so we really don't get into New England sports too much. But I know he's a big NBA fan, and I'm sure he has the same viewpoint of what happened with Boston last night. You have a lead at home like that. The last thing you want to do is get somebody like that going.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable, yeah. Hey, thanks for your time, Bob. We'll catch up at some point. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it, Bob. We got another call before we go to a break and a headline with Joel Nelson. That would be Ernesto, who joins us on line four. What's up, Ernesto?
Good morning, Bob. And I hope I'm wrong when I say this. I think that the expectations for Kenny Pickett for year two might be a little bit inflated. If you look at his numbers and stats, it just doesn't lead to what the callers that if you listen to it on a sports radio, what they're saying they think he's going to do. Like, he's not going to throw for a ton of 300-yard games. I feel like 230 yards, a couple touchdowns, good defense, run the ball is kind of the way they're tooling this team out.
I agree with that, and there's nothing wrong with that, is there, as long as it results in wins?
Oh, no, I'm all good with the wins. I just they said that the best thing you can do is build somebody up. The funnest thing to do is tear him down. I just don't want to see Pittsburgh rip him apart if he doesn't meet these expectations that they're kind of creating. And I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I don't know who's creating. I look at it strictly as functioning offense and what his role in it is. You know, I think from what I've seen, I'm sure you can say the same, and this goes back to his Pitt days. Very accurate on the run, better than most on the run from the pocket. If he gets the proper protection, I think he could pick people apart. I really do. And I'm not saying he's going to throw the ball down the field all day long. He's going to get the fantasy points. That's not what this team is going to be about. They're going to go through their run game and have that complement the pass game. Hopefully with the thought that the pass game eventually can carry a run game. But it has to develop. And I think early in the season, we're going to see what they're going to try to do. But that's not a bad recipe. You know, I don't know what stats would improve. Ernesto, if I asked you at the end of the year, what does Kenny Pickett need to do stat-wise? The number one thing I'm going to say is how many wins does it result in? If he has, 19 touchdowns and 6 interceptions and, 3,000 yards, that's not going to blow you away. But if it results in wins because he doesn't turn the ball over, what's wrong with that?
Oh, no, I believe 100% that he's a gamer, and I think that his win-loss records probably could be the best stat that reflects his ability. I'm just nervous that whenever he doesn't hit Ben's numbers, because Ben hit big numbers, people in the city are going to get a little bit upset and a little bit anxious. Like, they need him to do more, and I don't think that's the way this team is going to be built.
Nah, I hear you, and that's a good point. Thank you, Ernesto. I hope patience is a part of it as well, but I think expectations are up based on how he finished the season and the confidence I gained that he gained by doing so. We have more coming up, another hour before Paul Alexander takes over at 1, and then it's the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. It's an afternoon game with the Pirates and the Diamondbacks today at 4:05. Mitch Keller on the hill. That bodes well, and the rain should be out of here by then. In the meantime, I want to tell you that coming up, we're going to hear from J.J. Watt. A lot of people in Pittsburgh seem to think he's going to be destined to play in Pittsburgh at some point of the season. You're going to hear him directly answer that coming up in our next hour. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's SUV month. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and all the new redesigned 2024 tracks and online at sunchevy.com. They're responsible for the weather, and they don't want to take responsible for a rainy Saturday, but that's what you got on hand with early afternoon rain showers before skies clear. And then a stretch of outstanding weather coming up starts tomorrow. You can expect sunny skies most of all of this week, temperatures in the upper 70s. A big thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochran, go one better, ride in style at number one Cochran. We have hour number two on the way right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.